It is time at 24 minutes to 8 for Being Green, our focus on the environment. And we're delighted to announce a new sponsor of Being Green. And our environmental program is brought to us with the very kind compliments of Gerlinda Moser from Remax. Remax above the crowd. Very good morning to you, John Richards.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. And thank you, Remax. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a balloon above the crowd.
It is indeed. And I'll tell you a little bit more about Gerlinda Moser in a second after our feature this morning.
Yeah, yeah. Being green. Well, we're wearing the green not for Ireland this morning, but the green, obviously.
Yes.
The energy debate simmers on. It's been relatively quiet for a while because all sorts of other exciting and political things and shocking political things have been happening. But don't be lulled into a sense of false security. At the moment, we're in a holding pattern with the decision on nuclear new build programs in the pending tray. The government has passed the hot potato on to Eskom, or have they? Does parastatal Eskom have the autonomy to call for tenders? There are court decisions to come. Nobody's quite sure. With this in the background, I was delighted to meet Ben Hurd, who hails from South Australia and is founder and director of a think tank called Bright New World. Their basic take is that it is a bright new world, that by applying positivity and innovative technology to the challenges that face us, something beneficial to everyone and the planet as a whole may be the result. Ben was and remains a passionate activist, but feels that sometimes the problems overwhelm activists and they lose focus. He had that experience when considering the arguments and positions on the hotly debated nuclear energy question, and he had quite a revelatory experience.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I had gone from being very passionate about the environment and being involved in organisations to working professionally in climate change. And there's a material difference there because I was finding that I was having basically a mathematics problem. Dealing with climate change adaptation programs, I was seeing just how big the scale of the problem was that we had on our hands. And then at the same time, I might be doing some projects in some alternative energy or some energy efficiency or some carbon offsetting. And the mismatch that I was seeing was really, really very, very big. To the extent that I almost started to get a little depressed, and I was thinking, I just don't see that we've got solutions on hand to tackle this. And I suppose it was that sense of desperation that made me think, well, maybe it's time I reappraised nuclear technology. And so I had to go back and have a good hard look at that, and I really did line up all of the reasons that I had for objecting to nuclear technology and just quietly set about doing some of my own listening, some of my own reading, and some of my own research. And, you know, I came to the conclusion that I've been wrong on just about every front. It's not bad technology, it's actually really, really good technology. It's imperfect, as is every technology, but it's essential. And if we can use it in the right way, in the right combinations with renewable energy technologies, you know, that have different strengths in different locations and get the blend right in each location, we can have a completely decarbonised energy system, not just a partly decarbonised energy system.
So really the answer is that we need everything?
Undoubtedly. And that's where a lot of the discourse and narrative is quite dangerous at the moment, where people are insisting that technologies A, B and C will do the whole job. That's a really dangerous narrative because we don't know that. We don't know that it's possible. What we do know is that we have some examples of success around the world, and they come from blending nuclear and renewable technologies together. You can pick and choose between certain low-carbon technologies and insist that they have to do the whole job.
Now, there are new nuclear technologies and old, very old nuclear stations that have been operating for years and years. I think our Kuburg here is well into the 30s now.
Mm.
But they can be upgraded and revolutionised.
Yeah, they can. They can be refurbished. You know, they have licensed design lives that will tend to be about 40 years in the Kuburg era sort of plants. And they can go through a process of refurbishment and uprating where they can be have their lives extended by perhaps another 20 years in great condition. And that's some of your lowest cost clean electricity is actually refurbishing an existing plant. And the United States has done that extremely successfully with uprating and refurbishing their existing plants. That's been actually the largest source of nuclear energy in the United States, has been improving the performance of their existing nuclear plant. And that's very exciting. However, when you're looking at new build, and particularly with a program like South Africa's, if you're looking at 9,600 megawatts, it's a big sector. And if that were to be staged in a few tenders, I think that by the third tender, for example, you're going to have some innovative new nuclear technologies that are wanting to participate. I'm thinking small modular reactors like NuScales, or even liquid-fueled reactors like Terrestrial Energies. Those companies are going through licensing now. So when we're looking at building in 2017, we're actually looking at technology that is new and innovative and improving in exactly the same way as renewable technologies are improving. Technology improvement is a universal.
So the bottom line really is it's not either or.
Absolutely not. It is, you know, if anything right now, we tend to forget that South Africa is currently coal-fired. I mean, what we have at the moment is
95%.
It's 95% coal-fired. Now, if we were serious about managing climate change, which we must be, not only do we need to grow existing capacity, hopefully as clean capacity, to meet the burgeoning need in South Africa, eventually we need to retrospectively replace that existing coal, as we do in Australia, as we do in China, as we do in the United States, and we need all hands on deck. Nuclear technology brings with it that reliability, that constant always-on supply, and the sort of frequency control being a synchronous generator, and those are incredibly important characteristics. Renewable technologies now are bringing low-cost marginal supply. They're easily accessible, they're quickly installed, and they can decentralise the supply, and that those can be very beneficial. We need to play to the benefits of all technology to deliver a low-carbon system. That's the goal, a low-carbon system. The goal shouldn't be the rollout of any one technology. The goal should be a low-carbon system that's accessible and affordable and reliable for everyone.
Yeah, accessible and reliable for everyone. Low-carbon. Ben Hurd of Bright New World. I like his balanced take on the energy question. We didn't have time to talk about the relative costs, and the devil really is in the detail there. Why does it cost so much to build a nuclear plant? Or does it cost that much? Are we asking the right questions? I'm going to try to find some answers and come back to you in the future, Being Green. In the meantime, have a look at Bright New World's website. That's www.brightnewworld.org. They're based in Adelaide, but they're worldwide, of course. Until next time, from me, John Richards, goodbye.
Thank you very much to John Richards. And if you missed any of that information that John was talking about today, then go to our webpage, www.fmr.co.za, and you can click on podcast and you can listen to that feature again. Being Green brought to us with the very kind compliments of the real estate legend Galinda Moser of Remax. Remax above the crowd. Go to www.remaxliving.co.za. And a very warm welcome and thank you to Galinda Moser, owner broker at Remax for nearly 30 years, and she's been a member of FMR virtually since the station started in 1995. She supports, is a passionate supporter of the arts, supports animal welfare and many other causes, and she just wants to leave the world a better place. And she contacted us and said that she would like to support and sponsor Being Green, and we're very, very grateful. Thanks for your support, Galinda. Great to have you on board.
Our blue planet is made up of air, water and land. Together they form the biosphere. When you add white and red to our blue planet, you get REMAX. Care, consciousness and commitment. At REMAX, we don't just work in the community, we live there too. That's why we are committed towards a sustainable ecosystem, skills development and training. A home is four walls. Our vision is forever. Remax. Above the crowd.